Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, May 27th, 2009 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. It's an honor and a pleasure. And before I get started, a few thoughts. I'm going to jump back into the Bruce Weissman article and continue on, hopefully get to the other article and shed some light on exactly what's happening. And I tell you, when you understand what he wrote and what it portends and all of the things that tie into it, basically, what we see is the complete unraveling of our system, our financial system and our country, really, through that mechanism, which gets back to the old Mayor Amschel Bauer quote, "Give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes their laws." Of course, he changed his name to his daddy's business with the red sign on the front of it, or Rothschild, more commonly known today. So we see that happening, yet most people don't even realize what's going on. And it's interesting. It always brings to mind for me Second Thessalonians chapter 2 when you read about this coming of the lawless one, and the restrainer restrains him now, and Paul writes, "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish," in verse 10, "because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved." But here's where it gets real interesting. "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false." God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness, or who loved the fruit of unrighteousness, if you will. And man, I hear story after story. Today was a particularly heart-wrenching day of multiple stories of, families in collapse. You hear people like Alan Watt talk about the attack on the family being one of the first open attacks to really degrade the nation. And we see that playing out now, to the point. And I would preface all of this by saying, to me, I'm serious. My heart breaks. My heart weeps for my country and the nation, all the states. And I would say we need to take care of each other. If you are married, you made a promise, keep it. If you had kids, you implied a promise, keep it. And the more that we keep trying to break promises and make things better, the more we're kidding ourselves. It's just not going to happen. You see evidence of this all over the place. I saw two women walking out of a store today. One, the first, who I passed, this woman was bone skinny. And clearly, a symptom of something. Anyway, I'll explain why I'm telling that story. I'll pick up right on the other side of this break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back. And let me just finish this story real quick. I know it doesn't necessarily pertain to anything in particular, but so you see two women, basically. I passed two women in the store, and this was, you know, fairly insignificant, but to me it represents the state of our nation. It was really idiomatic, in my opinion. The first woman was bone skinny, and I'm not making value judgments or anything like that. These were just observations. And clearly she had done some things to manipulate her body chemistry, and I'll leave it at that. You know, you just don't look like that naturally in this day and age, certainly not in this country. So she had gone to some length to alter her physical condition. Her skin was basically dripping off of her. That's not much of a stretch. A little hyperbole, not much. And basically playing it like she has it all together, but not really. You can see, you can just kind of look at her demeanor and tell that she is not who she thought she would wind up being after this manipulation of her physical composition. It was not satisfying. Didn't result in what she had hoped. And behind her, so I passed her, and then behind her, probably 10 steps or so behind her, was another lady, a little heavy set, overweight by any standard in this country today. And again, not a value judgment at all, just an observation. But what was just particularly ironic, sadly ironic, was this woman. I caught her glance or her gaze at the other woman in front of her. They were both walking the same direction, passing me. But I saw her looking at the other woman wantonly as though, you know, she wanted to look like that woman. You could just see it in her eyes. Oh my goodness. I wish I were her. I wish I looked like her. And, you know, that is the state of our nation. No one is who they really are. And everyone wants to be someone else. And everything they're doing is unfulfilling and unsatisfying. Meanwhile, all the time, basically, no one understands that everything that we're all doing is playing into the cataclysmic destruction of each other and ourselves. And that's the cruel irony of both of the two women, or, you know, the entire nation, if you want to go that far. Because I really believe that it's, like I said, it's idiomatic in the expression of our country. So for what it's worth, I don't know. I mention it sometimes, you know, it just sounds like Jonah's gospel to me because we're just so far gone. We don't even know, you know, how to keep a promise, how to, you know, stick to what we say. And I'll be honest. I have to be honest. I'm the, you know, anyone who knows me, I knows that I'm the last guy that should even be making a statement like that. Cause I've certainly double crossed my share of people in my lifetime. And I'm certainly no model of righteousness, that's for sure. But, you know, if we hope to move in a direction, especially with the family situation, I think of Psalm 15:4, you know, the psalmist is saying, you know, who gets to hang out with you, God? Who gets to spend time with you? What is the character of that person? And he goes down a short list of character traits. And one of them in verse 4 is, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. I was thinking about it today. Two generations ago, we had that, I believe. You know, the World War II generation was that. Come forward a generation, they should have spanked their kids more, I'm convinced. You know, the boomers, they lacked some maturity and some responsibility. Generally speaking, they were a more selfish brood. Come forward a generation, to my generation, for example, and it's just all out lawlessness and chaos, basically. I mean, in the sense of this, the level of selfishness, and it just continues to get worse. Kids today pitted against their parents, pitted against everything, you know, and we certainly saw the rise of that coming through the 60s, and it's just ludicrous. It's utter nonsense. Anyway, not to get stuck on that, but I wish that we'd just all turn off the television, honor a moment of silence once in a while, and pull our heads out of a dark place before there are no alternatives. I mean, I know that we're going to continue to be busy. I know that there's not going to be some big cataclysmic event because the creeping socialism that the Fabianists love so well and has worked for so long will continue. But, you know, there is a line, and it can be crossed. Anyway, yesterday I was reading through Bruce Weissman's article that I threw in the archives, and the article was titled The Financial Crisis, A Look Behind the Wizard's Curtain. It was published March 19th by the Canada Free Press. It was in the archives previously. I believe I stuck it in last night's archives. You can find that at republicbroadcasting.org in the archives. It is in the archives from yesterday. I also stuck Mark Feldstein's remarks in that I mentioned, that the media has a vested interest in hyping crises, and also some links to the books by Nesta Webster that I mentioned. And speaking of Nesta Webster, I'm going to throw an excerpt. I'll throw a link to a great short study webpage in that includes one of my favorite citations by Nesta Webster from World Revolution on page 181. And one of my favorites is her citation explaining the international, you know, before it was officially the Comintern, so to speak, and what exactly was happening there. And she said, it's difficult to write of these things calmly. And I would say the same thing applies today and really in all periods of history when these kinds of things are what's happening behind the scenes. She says, it's difficult to write of these things calmly. For to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevents them seeing whither they are being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. Yet this is what the exploiters of the international did for the working men. And that's exactly what's happening today. You know, you see so many of the goofy, I mean, you know, this the way that the situation with, pick one, North Korea. Why are we buying that? Hook, line, and sinker. Sonia Sotomayor, you know, I agree with Robert Gibbs, but you know, it's a setup. Both sides are a setup. We're going to make value judgments based on a 10-second clip and call it racism. That's a stretch. How about the bigger issue? That she's right, that the Court of Appeals does set policy, and that public policy is the real issue, the fourth branch of government. That jurisdiction. Why aren't we talking about that? Who cares about Sonia Sotomayor? It doesn't matter. It's a moot point. Why not talk about what really matters? But like I said, you know, I mean, like I was saying last week, it's a don't ask, don't tell nation. How about this one? You know, I was thinking about these conversations lately. People, you know, you talk about this issue of the fourth branch of government. Oh, my goodness. I've had numerous conversations lately where somebody says, you know, you start talking about that, and I say, I mean, you probably know I wrote a piece called A Resolution, The Resolution, a Manifesto, in response to the 10th Amendment deal, saying basically, you know, until the states withdraw from these contracts, federal contracts, it's a moot point. Those contracts supersede the Constitution. They've contracted outside of the Constitution. Go back to, I keep reading the citation from James P. Hill's The Third House of Congress for the Fourth Branch of Government, when he says that both of these institutions grew up outside the Constitution. How is that possible? And we contract. We contract with them outside, and so do the states. And that's why they say the only rule is that there are no rules. So you have these conversations with people, and invariably you're met at some point or another with people who are active in this, you know, states' rights or 10th Amendment kind of deal, and they say, yeah, but you know, those contracts are fraud. They're fraudulent, so they're null and void. Okay, I'll grant you that. Here's one problem. If you know that and you're still participating in a fraudulent contract, what does that make you? What does that make us all? Shouldn't that be the first concern? I can't control what anybody else does. But if I'm participating in a fraudulent contract, doesn't that make me a criminal, a party to fraud? So why are we doing that? It doesn't make it okay. How can we rationalize that away? I don't see how that's possible. Anyway, slight tangent. The other thing I forgot to mention the other day I was thinking about is this difference. You know, we see these terms. I'm so tired of these Tavistockian terms. What's the difference between governance and government? Do we ever talk about that? Anybody ever talk about that? Seems like too many people are using the terms interchangeably. They're not interchangeable. I'll tell you why when we come back real quick, and then I promise I will jump back into the article, and we'll finish up Bruce Weisman's article right after this break.
You invest, you buy insurance, you wear your seatbelt, you do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, communication devices, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against all natural disasters and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you are not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in FEMA lines. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. Or call 877-231-1925. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back. Okay, real quick, and then we're jumping back into the article. The difference between governance and government. Is there a difference? I assure you there is. And when you listen, you'll hear it. I'm not going to get into formal definitions. We could do that. But here is the difference, generally speaking. Government is a framework. Governance is a straitjacket. Government is of, by, and for the people. Governance is at, to, and on the people. Government is a bulwark to safeguard against tyranny. Governance is a bulwark to safeguard and cultivate tyranny. And that's kind of a general idea of the difference between governance and government as it's thought of by despots and tyrants. And there is a difference. Anyway, jumping back in to Bruce Wiseman's article of the two that I mentioned, and as I said before, highly recommended reading, even though if you're listening, I would recommend just burning a copy, looking at that stuff, and then going and talking about it. This is what happened. This is happening now. You know, I'm still talking to people. You talk to people every day. You know, are you buying a house now? Yeah, it's, you know, it's a tumultuous time. You might find some deals, but, you know, everybody's saying, like I was joking last week, and it's really not funny. Man, you can get a huge, you know, Uncle Sam will help you out, you know. Look in any paper today across the country. Get $8,000. I mean, the ads are everywhere. I know people in the mortgage business still that are taking advantage. And like I said, are still, you know, trying to pick up where they left off and even expand from where they left off, which was, it was wrong. It was evil. I was there. I saw it. I worked for the company with Super Bowl ads that said, you know, don't judge too quickly. Oh, okay. Whatever. You know, the cat with blood on it and the knife or whatever. I can't remember exactly what the ad was, but, you know, the slogan was don't judge too quickly. Well, you know, if you smell a rat, it's a rat. Anyway, this is bad, you know, trying to draw people into these contracts that will not only hurt and injure them personally, but also their neighbor and really the entire country and the world for that matter. I mean, we haven't learned our lesson. Do we not understand how the subprime contagion, as they called it, occurred? That's why you need to read this article and understand this information, because it really helps to bring that to light. And this is going to happen again, because we're repeating the cycle, only it's going to be worse, because there are a number of other forces at play that are all colliding. It's like a giant confluence, and all of these things are just, you know, it's like a bunch of freight trains about to collide. It's crazy. Anyway, we went through the subsections, and just to bring us up to speed real fast, Bruce Weissman has taken us through the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, about what exactly happened in the recent subprime financial crisis. We talked about Easy Money Allen. We talked about the Community Reinvestment Act and the rewriting, the repeal of Glass-Steagall, the waiver of capital requirements, and Basel II. And all of that paved the way for the media to do what it did, and that's where I'm going to pick up. Bruce Weissman says, he writes, the media and mark to market. I'm going to back up a little bit. Mark to the market. I should actually back up a little bit from there. Just to clarify on the Basel II, to lead in with Basel II, the accounting change in 1988 that the bank of international Bank for International Settlements set, that was Basel I, and in January of 2004 they put together some new rules, included in which was a new accounting rule. And within Basel II was this new accounting rule that I mentioned that required banks to adjust their value of their marketable securities, such as mortgage-backed securities, of course, to the market price of the security. This is called mark to the market. There can be some rationality to this in certain circumstances. But here's what happened. Now this section, the media and mark to the market. As news and rumors began to circulate about some of the subprime CRA loans in the packages of mortgage-backed securities, the press, always at the ready to forward the most salacious and destructive information available, started promoting these problems. As a result, the value of these securities fell, and when one particular bank did seek to sell some of these securities, they got bargain basement prices. Instantly, per Basel II, that meant that the hundreds of billions of dollars of these securities being held by banks around the world had to be marked down, marked to the market. And, of course, I mentioned that that coincides with what Mark Feldstein said on CNN. The media has a vested interest in doing this very thing. How convenient. And since the same interests are at play, are basically the same forces in both arenas, we can see how that might happen. Anyway, stick around. We'll pick up right after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. Hempusa.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay. Call today, 908-691-2608. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, welcome back. Now, I was just thinking about it. I probably ought to back up a little bit further even because for some reason the archive from last night is cut off, and you won't understand what I'm talking about going forward because it cut off in the section about waiver of capital requirements, but I got through that. So I think, I think for the sake of the archive, I'm going to back up a little bit and go over this ground a little bit. So I'll back up to waiver of capital requirements so that we have a complete archive, and we'll go through that. I wanted to get through this, but it's important to have this on the record. So we're going through the rest of the story with regard to the financial crisis, the subprime contagion. We covered Easy Money Allen, the Community Reinvestment Act, Glass-Steagall. Now we'll go through waiver of capital requirements again. Then I'll get to Basel II again, and then I'll get to the media and mark to the market. And if you're listening live and you did last night, it's not a bad review. I'm sure that, you know, I think we could all benefit from the information. So continuing at waiver of capital requirements, enter Hammer and Hank Paulson. In April of 2004, a group of five investment banks met with the regulators at the Securities and Exchange Commission, and convince them to waive a rule that requires the banks to maintain a certain level of reserves. If you understand what's happening with the regulatory agencies like the SEC, you understand why guys like David Kellerman need to take a dirt nap. Straight-laced, squeaky, clean guys like David Kellerman. Because there is a coup occurring in this country, and it's right before our very eyes, and guys like David Kellerman are probably finding out about it and saying, wait a second, this can't happen. So they need to hang themselves in their basement with lots of people standing around and nobody asking any questions. Continuing, this freed up an enormous reserve of capital, which the investment banks were able to use to purchase oceans of mortgage-backed securities. Right? The removal of the waiver of capital requirements. The banks kept some of these packages for their own portfolios. You can be assured that it was the good ones. Now I remember, this is such a setup because I remember, I mean, they had people picking through pools by hand, an unheard of practice for a while, and they were scrutinizing loans, and yet we still come through with so many bad loans. Anyway. Banks kept some of these packages for their own portfolios, but also sold some of them by the bucket load to willing buyers from every corner of the globe. The investment bank that took the lead in getting the SEC to waive the regulation was Goldman Sachs. The person responsible for securing the waiver was, that's right, Goldman's chair, a man named Henry Paulson. With the reserve rule now removed, Paulson became Wall Street's most aggressive player, leveraging the relaxed regulatory environment into a sales and marketing jihad of mortgage-backed securities and similar instruments. Goldman made billions. And Hammer & Hank, according to Forbes magazine, his partnership interest in Goldman in 2006 was worth $632 million. This is on top of his $15 million per year, $15 million a year in annual compensation. Despite his glistening dome, let's say Hank was having a good hair day. Okay, so and like I mentioned yesterday, why would someone step down from $15 million a year to a measly $144,000 or whatever the Treasury Secretary's salary is? Why would you do that? Like I said yesterday, imagine explaining that to your spouse. Holy cow. In case this isn't clear, it was Paulson who, more than anyone else on Wall Street, was responsible for the boom in selling the toxic mortgage-backed securities to anyone who could write a check. Many of you may recognize the name Hank Paulson. It was Paulson who left the Goldman Sachs chairmanship and came to Washington in mid-2006 as George Bush's Secretary of the Treasury. And it was Paulson who bludgeoned Congress out of $700 billion of so-called stimulus money with threats of public riots and financial Armageddon if they did not cough up the dough. He then used $300 billion to bail out his Wall Street homeboys to whom he had sold the toxic paper in the first place, all at taxpayers' expense. Makes you feel warm all over, doesn't it? Congress has its own responsibility for this fiscal madness, but that's another story. This one still has one more piece, the piece de resistance, Basel II. Greenspan, the Community Reinvestment Act, the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and Paulson getting the SEC to waive the capital rule for investment banks have all set the stage. The economy is screaming along. Real estate is in a decade-long boom, and the stock market is reaching new heights. Paychecks are fat. But by the first quarter of 2007, the nigglings that all was not well in the land of the mortgage-backed securities began to filter into the press. And like a chilled whisper rustling through the forest, mentions of rising delinquencies and foreclosures began to be heard. Still, the stock market continued to rise, with the Dow Jones reaching a high of 14,164 on October 9, 2007. It stayed in the 13,000 range through the month, but in November, a major stock market crash commenced from which we have yet to recover. It's not just the U.S. stock market that has crashed, however. Stock exchanges around the world have fallen like a rock off a tall building. Most have lost their value, wiping out countless trillions. And as I keep mentioning, according to Mary Shapiro, 28.5 trillion worldwide and 10 trillion in the U.S. alone. If it were just stock markets, that would be bad enough, but let's be frank. The entire financial structure of the planet has gone into a tailspin, and it has yet to hit ground zero. And you know what? I would add to that, most people don't even know anything happened or is happening. You know, everybody's running around saying, it's cyclical. Well, you know, it'll come back. And all of these goofy things. It's ridiculous. While real wealth gets siphoned off. Which is why I keep saying that Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad is probably one of the most scandalous and scathing indictments you'll ever read if you know how to read it right. Which is why I firmly believe that for a period he kind of went underground after he wrote it, because some people probably said you shouldn't have written that. But then they realized that, you know, the sheeple were too stupid to know what they were reading, and so it was okay. Don't worry about it. The rich invent money. The rich invent paper to steal your wealth. That's basically what he wrote, but, you know, it was a New York Times bestseller. Anyway, while there surely would have been losses, truth be told, the U.S. banking system would likely have gotten through this, as would the rest of the world, had it not been for an accounting rule called Basel II, promulgated by the Bank for International Settlements. Who? What? That's right, I said, an accounting rule. The final nail in the coffin, and this was really the wooden spike through the heart of the financial markets, was delivered in Basel, Switzerland, at the Bank for International Settlements. Never heard of it? Neither have most people, so let me pull back the wizard's curtain. Central banks are privately owned financial institutions that govern a country's monetary policy and create the country's money. The Bank for International Settlements, located in Basel, Switzerland, is the central banker's bank. There are 55 central banks around the planet that are members, but the bank is controlled by a board of directors which is comprised of the elite central bankers of 11 different countries: US, UK, Belgium, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Switzerland, Netherlands, and Sweden. Do you ever wonder why Switzerland never winds up in war? Created in 1930, the BIS is owned by its member central banks, which again are private entities. The buildings and surroundings that are used for the purposes of the bank are inviolable. No agent of the Swiss public authorities may enter the premises without the express consent of the bank. The bank exercises supervision and police power over its premises. The bank enjoys immunity from criminal and administrative jurisdiction. In short, they are above the law. This is the ultra-secret world of the planet's central bankers and the top of the food chain in international finance. The board members fly into Switzerland for once a month meetings, which they hold in secret. In 1988, the BIS issued a set of recommendations on how much capital commercial banks should have. This standard, referred to as Basel I, was adopted worldwide. In January 2004, our boys got together again and issued new rules about the capitalization of banks. For those not fluent in bank speak, this is essentially what the bank has in reserves to protect itself and its depositors. This was called Basel II. Within Basel II was an accounting rule that required banks to adjust the value of their marketable securities, such as mortgage-backed securities, to the, quote, market price of the security. This is called mark to the market. There can be some rationality to this in certain circumstances, but here's what happened. The media and mark to the market. As news and rumors began to circulate about some of the subprime CRA loans and the packages of mortgage-backed securities, the press, always at the ready to forward the most salacious and destructive information available, started promoting these problems. As a result, the value of these securities fell, and when one particular bank did seek to sell some of these securities, they got bargain basement prices. Instantly, per Basel II, that meant that the hundreds of billions of dollars of these securities being held by banks around the world had to be marked down, marked to the market. It didn't matter that the vast majority of the loans, 90-plus percent, in these portfolios were paying on time. If, say, Lehman Brothers had gotten fire sale prices for their mortgage-backed securities, the other banks, which held these assets on their books, now had to mark to the market, driving their financial statements into the toilet. Again, it didn't matter that the banks were receiving payments, cash flow, from their loan portfolios. The value of the package of loans had to be written down. A rough example, and I mentioned, I think, some shows ago that it was only in recent years, I think it was 2004 also, which probably was a trigger, by the way, for, you know, the Basel II, that mortgage debt exceeded Wall Street debt, first time in American history. Okay, a rough example would be if the houses on your street were all worth about $400,000. You owe $300,000 on your place and so have $100,000 in equity. Your neighbor, Bill, is selling his house. Your neighbor, Bill, in selling his house, uncovered a massive invasion of termites. He had to sell the house in a hurry and wound up with $200,000, half the real value. Shortly thereafter, you get a demand letter from your bank for $100,000 because your house is only worth $200,000 according to the market. Your house doesn't have termites or perhaps just a few, doesn't matter. Of course, if the value of your home goes below the loan value, banks can't make you cough up the difference. But if you're a bank, Basel II says you must adjust the value of your mortgage-backed securities if another bank sold for less, termites or no. When the value of their assets were marked down, it dramatically reduced their capital reserves, and this, their capital, determined the amount of loans they could make. The result? Banks couldn't lend. The credit markets froze. Someone recently, and you know, as an aside, what happened also, I mentioned it in the CBO letter that Doogie Howser wrote late last year. I mean, Peter Orszag. He just looks like Doogie Howser. Only a couple of years older than I, but when he basically lamented the fact that the Fed was now the lender of last resort. I thought that's why they wanted to have a lender of last resort. But and this behavior, this activity actually drove the banks to the Fed. And so we keep seeing the siphoning off, you know, of assets and really power to the Fed. But I believe that's a setup because the IMF is going to come in and take care of that nonsense pretty soon with the official findings of the FSAP. Anyway, picking up, Wiseman writes, result, banks couldn't lend, the credit markets froze. Someone recently said that credit was the lifeblood of the economy. This happens to be a lie. Hard work, production, and the creation of products that are needed and wanted by others, these are the true lifeblood of an economy. But let's be honest. Credit does drive much of the current U.S. economy, home mortgages, auto loans, and visas, in more flavors than a Baskin-Robbins store. That is until the banks had to mark to the market and turn the IV off. The crisis. Mortgage lending slammed to a halt as if it had run headlong into a cement wall. Credit lines were canceled and credit card limits were reduced and in some cases eliminated altogether. And I can vouch for that. I remember wholesale mortgage lenders literally closing their doors overnight. When this all started happening, there were conventions, for example. There'd be big national mortgage conventions. I remember Bill Dallas, for example, talking on a conference call a few years ago saying, and he's been at the forefront of starting some big wholesale mortgage lending companies like First Franklin and Own It. And Own It was open, and he said on a conference call the day before he was scheduled to go to a national sales convention, we're going to get through this, you know, and it's tough. They had some really quirky guidelines that they had established, but he's always been known as kind of a maverick and a visionary. Anyway, So Bill Dallas is on this national conference call, says, yeah, we'll get through this. The next day, he goes to a national sales convention and announces that Own It is closing. And last year, and even late 2007, this was hysteric. I mean, it was crazy. I forget the, what was it, implodometer.com, I think, is one of the big websites. implode-o-meter.com or something like that was one of the big ones. There are a few that people were watching for a long time, talking about all the banks and wholesale mortgage lenders that were just going out of business. A few of the companies I worked for, big national companies established for, you know, well over a decade, gone, just gone. So this, you know, this is what was happening. Their credit lines were being canceled. Multi-million dollar credit lines, just gone. And this was really what was happening. So this was part of the crisis. Anyway, picking up. In short, with their balance sheets butchered by Basel II, banks were themselves going under, and those that were simply, and those that weren't simply stopped lending.
A naturopathic doctor and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries, they help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
We'll pay $25,000 of your credit card debt guaranteed. Since 1993, Zero Debt in 90 Days is still the only guaranteed debt relief program available. We'll either solve your debt problems in 90 days or we'll pay you $25,000. Our attorney said we could not make this promise, so we fired them and hired new attorneys, and they just love the idea.
My wife and I thought these guys are nuts, but a few months later, we were totally debt-free. This has changed our life and given us a brand new start.
So if you have too much debt of any kind, we want to pay for it. If you are facing foreclosure, we can stop it in one day and you make no payments. That's right, you keep your money. As of this date, we have stopped every single foreclosure and all of our clients are still in their homes, paying no property taxes, no mortgage, no rent, and no chance of having to move anytime soon. We will pay you $25,000 if we cannot solve your debt problems within 90 days. Call now and mention this offer to get your free copy of our 7 debt relief secrets. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
All right, welcome back. A few more sections to go in this article. I'll pick up on it tomorrow and get through this. This is a critical article to understand I think mainly because this is, you know, usually I would say looking back too much, reflecting too much on the past is kind of like driving in the rearview mirror. That's going to put you in a ditch. But we have to understand history. We have to know history. Otherwise, we're going to repeat it. And we are in the process of repeating it right now with this mortgage situation. We're making a bad problem worse with what we're doing. And it's intentional, but we don't have to go along with it. And some people would say, well, what do you, you know, what do you advocate? What would you advocate? Well, I like to have more of the conversations where we start thinking about what, like I said, you know, two, three generations ago, they told us, you know, don't buy anything on credit. What happened to that? When we start talking about buying houses, paying cash. Yeah, but you don't own it anyway. I know, but you're heading that direction real fast all of a sudden, aren't you? And then you can start to have that conversation about, you know, since your state can't take anything other than gold or silver in payment for debt, then you start to get to the underlying issue and, you know, what exactly are you, you know, are you buying it or are you renting it? And you get away from the communist idea of administrative jurisdiction taxes and those kinds of things. You head that direction a lot faster when you start talking about paying cash for a house instead of, you know, the alternative of perpetual indentured servitude of you, of your family. I mean, think about it. All of your productive years, 30 years, a 30-year mortgage, a 40-year mortgage, a 50-year mortgage, during that peak time, that was, you know, all of a sudden, you know, 40 years, 45, 50 years. Japan has had that for a long time and they're not alone. I mean, you know, 100-year mortgage. I mean, what is this? Perpetual indentured servitude. Yeah, we just need your kids and your grandkids to sign right here. How nice. Anyway, this article is very enlightening and very well written and well articulated by someone who's been in the industry for a long time. There's more I'd like to keep reading. I'm going to stop at the crisis, and I'll pick up on that tomorrow. But like I said, I would highly encourage everyone to read it and then read his other article as well that I mentioned, which goes along with it. That one titled The Purpose of the Financial Crisis, and that was published by Canada Free Press Saturday, May 9th. That's in the archives as well. But that's a little more forward-looking. And I believe, who knows? You know, I mean, if people – I talked to John Stabmiller today. We had a great conversation. And one of the things that stuck with me about what he said was if I could – kind of paraphrase for him, this is basically what he said. You know, I believe that most of the social issues are a distraction. And I couldn't agree more. You know, this issue with Sonia Sotomayor, who cares? You know, Waxman, Glenn Beck has Waxman, the soundbite yesterday talking about how he doesn't know what's in a bill. It's no surprise. These are distractions. Here are the things you want to talk to your representatives about if you want to talk about anything. Anyway, as always, it's an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
With recent international